Ever since a football injury ended his career early, he dreamed of being a Hollywood actor. But in the business, sometimes you have to make your own success. This is the story of Zach Avery, the D-list actor who managed to scam friends and investors out of millions thanks to Netflix and HBO. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Zach Avery was making it in Hollywood. Not like making it, but I mean, he had an IMDb page. His first role was in 2009 skater comedy GED, where he's credited as Thug. Not Thug Number 2 or Thug Number 3, but the main Thug. He was in a movie called Game Time in 2011, where he had a named role, but then he was demoted to Demon 3 and Basketball Player in his next two roles. So maybe that's why he got the idea to start his own production company in 2013 with Julio and Diego Halavis, professionally known as the Halavis Brothers. Diego was the director of that movie where Zach was the main thug, so their relationship went way back. The Halavis Brothers had jump-started their careers back in 2009 when they created a short film in 24 hours and went on to win 7 awards at the Miami Film Race, including Best Film and the Audience Award. Zach and the Halavis Brothers call their production company 1&MM Capital LLC, like one in a million. The brothers said, "We created 1&MM Productions to produce high-concept genre films with an edgy and unique approach to storytelling. Together, we have a shared commitment of cultivating the rise of a new class of auteurs." Which sounds really pretentious when you consider that what they really wanted to do was just make mainstream scary movies. No need to go throwing around fancy words. Their goal was to finance 2 or 3 elevated genre films a year for under $5 million, with Zach to have a role in many of them, his dream. Zachary J. Horowitz was born on December 5, 1986, and grew up in Florida and Indiana. His family seems to have been relatively well off, with a lake house they could vacation at. He says he's been an athlete his whole life, and he had the good fortune of being invited to play football at Indiana University. Unfortunately, Zach tore his ACL in training even before his first season began, so he had to figure out what he really wanted to do with his life. Go through rehab and try to make it in football, finish his psychology degree, or follow his other passion, acting. He'd done high school theater, but had to give it up to concentrate on sports. Zach got his undergraduate degree because it felt like there was no other option in his family, and then he tried to work on his doctorate at school in Chicago, but his heart wasn't in it. He took small roles at local theaters with the dream of moving to Los Angeles as soon as possible. In 2012, Zach was finally able to fund his move through door-to-door software sales, and his college girlfriend, Mallory Hagedorn, came along for the ride. Once he was in LA, he adopted his screen name, Zach Avery, and did anything he could to pay the bills. The belief in himself that he was good enough to make it fueled him during the tough times. Zach's inspirations were Tom Cruise, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Bradley Cooper, and he was willing to survive on scraps to hopefully be able to follow in their footsteps. He was willing to do whatever it took, including lying. When he got to LA, he booked a Bruce Willis cologne commercial and said he was a union actor when he wasn't. He still got to do the job without any consequences, which, as you may have guessed, is foreshadowing for the rest of this story. Zach had always thought that personal relationships were the most important part of getting work in Hollywood, and he also had that psychology background in his pocket. He put his skills to use in March 2014 when he hatched a plan. He would use his production company to obtain the rights to low-budget B-grade films and then lease them to huge names like Netflix and HBO to make their movie catalogs more robust in the emerging market of Latin America. All he needed were some backers. So Zach contacted 3 old friends from college who just happened to now be investment bankers. He convinced them to use their personal funds in support of him, their longtime trusted friend. After all, he had licensing agreements with Netflix to prove his company's viability. It wasn't like he was just asking his friends for blind faith. He had emails, too. The friends entered into loan agreements that were to be paid back mostly within 6 or 12 months for amounts ranging from $35,000 to $1.5 million. Zach promised 35 to 45% interest to the investors, claiming that his company would be making so much on the licensing deals that he'd have profit left over for himself on top of that. Usually loans wouldn't have such short repayment timelines, but Zach said he was able to pay investors back so quickly because HBO and Netflix themselves paid him so quickly for the movie rights. Basically, those companies were desperate for new content, with streaming being the future of movies and all. When Zach paid his friends back with interest, even before the promissory notes came due, everyone involved was like, hey, we're printing money here. They got their families involved too, parents and grandparents and siblings, and then other outside investors, more than 200 of them, even an economics professor. Zach touted himself as this industry insider thanks to his handful of low-level roles, including a completely uncredited role in Fury starring Brad Pitt. Zach said he had this wealth of knowledge, reputation, and experience, which I kind of doubt anyone really found credible, but what was credible were the returns. Investors couldn't argue with returns on their loans that sometimes exceeded 35%, and you just couldn't complain when you were in business with HBO and Netflix. In 2015, Zach sent out the company's annual report to investors, along with a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue, to celebrate the fact that they had the rights to 52 films that included actors like Jean-Claude Van Damme, Ron Perlman, and Paris Hilton. That's right, he had the rights to the hottie and the naughty. Zach started living the lifestyle of a man of his status, taking $100,000 trips to Vegas, finally marrying that girlfriend who moved to LA with him, and buying a $5.7 million six-bedroom home in Beverlywood. And then, of course, he had to also pay a celebrity interior designer nearly $700,000 to decorate it. Zach was also flying in private jets, buying Benzes and Audis, and something I didn't even know existed, paying for a luxury watch subscription service. He sat courtside at Lakers games and once tried to tip a waitress $5,000. He racked up an American Express bill of over $1.8 million in 1 year. He was also getting some higher profile roles at the time, like a movie called The White Crow that was directed by Ralph Fiennes of Lord Voldemort fame. He even made it into the trailer for an Olivia Munn movie. Of course, he was helping to finance those films, which probably helped, but still, he was finally living his dream. But things started to go south at the end of 2019. Zach wasn't able to pay back his investor loans to the tune of $234 million. He said it was HBO and Netflix's fault, though, that they had licensed films from his company but then refused to pay for them. But there was good news. He was in talks with them to collect late payments, and everything would be back on track soon enough. He had the emails to prove it, and investors felt like there was no way a company like HBO would ever default on its contracts. Contracts they had seen with their very own eyes. But here's the thing, and you will be shocked by this. The contracts were fake. The emails were fake. The whole thing was fake. The deals didn't exist, Netflix and HBO had never heard of this little company, and Zach was using one person's new investment to pay back those who had made previous investments. You might have heard of this before. It's called a Ponzi scheme. The first person to become suspicious was a private investor who was confused when Zach wouldn't provide the company's actual financials. Zach just sent over emails from HBO as proof that a relationship existed and money had exchanged hands. This was early on, and the whole scheme could have been stopped in its tracks if this investor had raised a warning flag. But he must have been dazzled like all the others, and ended up loaning Zach $80 million. Zach was funneling a good bit of the money he swindled into his personal accounts to pay for all of those luxury cars and subscription watches until he was caught. Investors called it one of the most daring Ponzi schemes in Hollywood history. One of the smartest things Zach did, it appears, was say that the movies would only be available in Latin America. That made it more difficult for investors to check if the deals with Netflix and HBO had actually gone through. Zach swindled over $690 million from friends, family, and other investors in the end. He was arrested on April 6, 2021, and his wife said the pounding of the FBI on their front door terrified her and caused their walls to shake. Zach was in jail for over 2 weeks before posting $1 million bail. Zach, who was 34 years old at the time, was indicted on 5 counts of securities fraud, 6 counts of wire fraud, and 2 counts of aggravated identity theft. He took a deal and pleaded guilty to 1 count of securities fraud in September 2021, causing the other charges to be dismissed. He admitted that he has $231 million of investment money outstanding and pleaded guilty to falsely representing his company for 7 years. He faced as many as 20 years in prison. On February 14, 2022, Zach was sentenced to the maximum 20 years in prison and ordered to pay $230 million in restitution to his 250-plus investors. He told the judge that his decisions were misguided and awful, and that he was sorry for the immense pain and hardship he caused his victims, some of whom had lost their life savings in his scheme. His attorneys said that he was mentally unwell and suffered from addiction issues, and argued that he shouldn't have to miss the childhoods of his 2 young sons. The prosecutors in the case, on the other hand, called Zach an insincere, calculating con artist. One of the victims, a 52-year-old father of 2 who had to file for bankruptcy and was living on food stamps, called Zach just another Bernie Madoff. Zach Horowitz is currently 36 years old and is being held at the low-security federal prison Terminal Island in San Pedro, California. He'll be released on October 11, 2038. The only relief for me in this case are the pot shots aimed at Zach by the media. The LA Times wrote, "Horowitz helped finance some of the films in which he appeared, but it's unclear whether that money came from his investment scam. None of the films were hits." And my absolute favorite thing in the SEC complaint is the line that says, "Horowitz purports to be an actor based in Los Angeles." It's like, he says he's an actor, but the only thing of interest on his resume is this YouTube video from 2016 based on the Joker, so we're doubtful.
Hello, doctor.
In retrospect, it's so annoying to watch interviews with Zach, and there are many of them he was really selling himself, because he always talks about how he's out there putting in the hard work. He acts like he's this scrappy go-getter who pulled himself up by his bootstraps. My favorite Zach Avery quote is, "When you don't have plan B, you make sure plan A works." Or you just rip off your friends. I think this case is especially sad because Zach preyed on his friends. They, of course, never suspected that he'd swindle them, and because they were respected investment bankers, it laid the groundwork for others to trust Zach. Zach's wife, Mallory, filed for divorce shortly after Zach's arrest. She said in court that he had been deceiving and manipulating me and everyone around him, and he is not the person that I believed he was. Good for her. And there are two more tidbits in this case that I just love. One is that for the movie The Gateway with Olivia Munn, Zach's character was coming home from prison. He says that to really get into the spirit of the character, he went to a jail to see what it's like to actually be arrested and talked with ex-criminals. Zach, quote-unquote, needed to feel what it was like to be inside and in that life to authentically play the character. Turns out he can draw from personal experience for his next role. The other super WTF thing in this case is its possible connection to Starbucks. I've only seen this reporting from one source, so take it with a grain of salt, but the story goes that after college, when Zach and his girlfriend were living in Chicago, he opened a juice bar. Zach was focusing more on the idea of acting than the juicery, and his business was in danger. But then Zach showed his girlfriend an email from Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, where Schultz said he was so impressed with Zach's business know-how that he wanted to offer Zach a job at his venture capital firm in LA. Zach took the job and moved the couple to LA, but the job was demanding and the hours long, so he turned to Adderall and Xanax. This distressed Zach's girlfriend, but she would get personal emails from Schultz himself with reassurance. So basically, Zach lied to his girlfriend to get her to move to LA and apparently used his supposed relationship with Schultz to convince his newfound friends to form a production company with him. So the wild lies were there from the very beginning. I'd love to know your thoughts on this case. Do you think you would have fallen victim to this scam? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.